Chapter 7 of The Tale of Little Pig Robinson by Beatrix Potter. This Legimus recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. Read by Rachel. Chapter 7. It must not be supposed for one moment that Robinson was ill-treated on board ship. Quite the contrary. He was even better fed and more petted on the pound of candles than he had been at Piggery Porcombe. So, after a few days fretting for his kind old aunts, especially while he was seasick, Robinson became perfectly contented and happy. He found what is called his sea legs, and he scampered about the deck until the time when he became too fat and lazy to scamper. The cook was never tired of boiling porridge for him. A whole sack of meal and a sack of potatoes appeared to have been provided especially for his benefit and pleasure. He could eat as much as he pleased. It pleased him to eat a great deal, and to lie on the warm boards of the deck. He got lazier and lazier as the ship sailed south into warmer weather. The mate made a pet of him. The crew gave him tidbits. The cook rubbed his back and scratched his sides. His ribs could not be tickled, because he had laid so much fat on. The only persons who refused to treat him as a joke were the yellow tomcat and Captain Barnabas Butcher, who was of a sour disposition. The attitude of the cat was perplexing to Robinson. Obviously it disapproved of the maize meal porridge business, and it spoke mysteriously about the impropriety of greediness and about the disastrous results of overindulgence. But it did not explain what those results might be, and as the cat itself cared neither for yellow meal nor tatties, Robinson thought that its warnings might arise from prejudice. It was not unfriendly. It was mournful and foreboding. The cat itself was crossed in love. Its morose and gloomy outlook upon life was partly the result of separation from the owl. That sweet hen-bird, a snowy owl of Lapland, had sailed upon a northern whaler bound for Greenland, whereas the pound of candles was heading for the tropic seas. Therefore the cat neglected its duties, and was upon the worst of terms with the cook. Instead of blacking boots and valetting the captain, it spent its days and nights in the rigging, serenading the moon. Between times it came down on deck, and remonstrated with Robinson. It never told him plainly why he ought not to eat so much, but it referred frequently to a mysterious date, which Robinson could never remember, the date of Captain Butcher's birthday, which he celebrated annually by an extra good dinner. That's what they are saving up apples for. The onions are done, sprouted with the heat. I heard Captain Barnabas tell the cook that onions were of no consequence as long as there were apples for sauce. Robinson paid no attention. In fact, he and the cat were both on the side of the ship, watching a shoal of silvery fishes. The ship was completely becalmed. The cook strolled across the deck to see what the cat was looking at, and exclaimed joyfully at sight of fresh fish. Presently half the crew were fishing. They baited their lines with bits of scarlet wool and bits of biscuit, and the boatswain had a successful catch on a line baited with a shiny button. The worst of button-fishing was that so many fish dropped off while being hauled on deck. Consequently, Captain Butcher allowed the crew to launch the jolly-boat, which was let down from some iron contraption called the davits, onto the glassy surface of the sea. Five sailors got into the boat. The cat jumped in also. They fished for hours. There was not a breath of wind. In the absence of the cat, Robinson fell asleep peacefully upon the warm deck. Later, he was disturbed by the voices of the mate and the cook, who had not gone fishing. The former was saying, "I don't fancy loin of pork with sunstroke, Cookie. Stir him up, or else throw a piece of sailcloth over him. I was bred on a farm myself. Pigs should never be let sleep in a hot sun." "As why?" inquired the cook. "Sunstroke," replied the mate. "Likewise it scorches the skin, makes it peely-like, spoils the look of the crackling." At this point, a rather heavy, dirty piece of sailcloth was flung over Robinson, who who struggled and kicked with sudden grunts.
"Did he hear you, matey?" asked the cook in a lower voice.
"Don't know. Don't matter. He can't get off the ship," replied the mate, lighting his pipe.
"Might upset his appetite. He's feeding beautiful," said the cook.
Presently, the voice of Captain Barnabas Butcher was heard. He had come upon deck, after a siesta below in his cabin.
"Proceed to the crow's nest on the main mast. Observe the horizon through a telescope according to latitude and longitude. We ought to be amongst the archipelago by chart and compass," said the voice of Captain Butcher.
It reached the ears of Robinson through the sailcloth in muffled tones, but peremptory, although it was not so received by the mate, who occasionally contradicted the captain when no one else was listening.
"My corns are very painful," said the mate.
"Send the cat up," ordered Captain Barnabas briefly.
"The cat is out in the boat fishing."
"Fetch him in, then," said Captain Barnabas, losing his temper. "He has not blacked my boots for a fortnight. He went below, that is," down a stepladder into his cabin, where he proceeded to work out the latitude and longitude again, in search of the archipelago. "It's to be hoped that he mends his temper before next Thursday, or he won't enjoy roast pork," said the mate to the cook. They strolled to the other end of the deck to see what fish had been caught. The boat was coming back. As the weather was perfectly calm, it was left overnight upon the glassy sea, tied below a porthole, or ship's window, at the stern of the Pound of Candles. The cat was sent up the mast with a telescope. It remained there for some time. When it came down, it reported quite untruthfully that there was nothing in sight. No particular watch or lookout was kept that night upon the Pound of Candles, because the ocean was so calm. The cat was supposed to watch, if anybody did. All the rest of the ship's company played cards. Not so the cat or Robinson. The cat had noticed a slight movement under the sailcloth. It found Robinson shivering with fright and in floods of tears. He had overheard the conversation about pork.
"I'm sure I have given you enough hints," said the cat to Robinson. "What do you suppose they were feeding you up for? Now don't start squealing, you little fool. It's as easy as snuff, if you will listen and stop crying. You can row after a fashion."
Robinson had been out fishing occasionally, and had caught several crabs.
"Well, you have not far to go. I could see the top of the bong tree, on an island north-northeast, when I was up the mast. The straits of the archipelago are too shallow for the Pound of Candles, and I'll scuttle all the other boats. Come along, and do what I tell you," said the cat.
The cat, actuated partly by unselfish friendship, and partly by a grudge against the cook and Captain Barnabas Butcher, assisted Robinson to collect a varied assortment of necessaries. Shoes, sealing wax, a knife, an armchair, fishing tackle, a straw hat, a saw, fly papers, a potato pot, a telescope, a kettle, a compass, a hammer, a barrel of flour, another of meal, a keg of fresh water, a tumbler, a teapot, nails, a bucket, a screwdriver.
"That reminds me," said the cat. And what did it do but go round the clock with a gimlet, and bore large holes in the three boats that remained on board the Pound of Candles.
By this time there began to be ominous sounds below. Those of the sailors who had had bad hands were beginning to be tired of carting. So the cat took a hasty farewell of Robinson, pushed him over the ship's side, and he slid down the rope into the boat. The cat unfastened the upper end of the rope, and threw it after him. Then it ascended the rigging and pretended to sleep upon its watch. Robinson stumbled somewhat in taking his seat at the oars. His legs were short for rowing. Captain Barnabas, in the cabin, suspended his deal, a card in his hand, listening. The cook took the opportunity to look under the card. Then he went on slapping down the cards, which drowned the sound of oars upon the placid sea. After another hand, two sailors left the cabin and went on deck. They noticed something having the appearance of a large black beetle in the distance. One of them said it was an enormous cockroach swimming with its hind legs. The other said it was a dolphinium. They disputed rather loudly. Captain Barnabas, who had had a hand with no trumps at all after the cook dealing, Captain Barnabas came on deck and said, "Bring me my telescope." The telescope had disappeared. Likewise, the shoes, the sealing wax, the compass, the potato pot, the straw hat, the hammer, the nails, the bucket, the screwdriver, and the armchair. "Take the jolly boat and see what it is," ordered Captain Butcher. "All jolly fine, but suppose it is a dolphinium," said the mate mutinously. "Why, bless my life, the jolly boat is gone," exclaimed a sailor. "Take another boat. Take all the three other boats. It's that pig and that cat," roared the captain.
"Nay, sir, the cat's up in the rigging asleep."
"Bother the cat! Get the pig back! The applesauce will be wasted!" shrieked the cook, dancing about and brandishing a knife and fork. The davits were swung out, the boats were let down with a swish and a splash, all the sailors tumbled in and rowed frantically, and most of them were glad to row frantically back to the pound of candles, for every boat leaked badly, thanks to the cat. End of chapter 7.